This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please do be seated. Well, we've been following a series on freedom in Christ, and we've covered many topics in recent months. This is the last in the series, and we'll be coming up to do a new series in Advent, looking at some themes of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the coming weeks. And next year we'll have a series on Revelation and also one on Exodus. So I'm really looking forward to those series. But I thought I could begin before launching into this passage from Ephesians on standing firm, on holding our ground that the Lord has given us. I'd like to invite Dave to put on yet another hat today. He's been a drummer, he's been a kids' spot presenter. But Dave, come and tell us what God has done for you during this series.
Thanks, Mark. Friends, I stand before you here as a witness to the healing power of God's work in my life. Many of you probably don't know that I've spent most of my life in a very depressive state and put on a pretty good face. I try to conceal it. I've learned ways to conceal it and control it, but it always rears its ugly head, particularly among those who I treasure the most in a private setting. And there's always been this nagging feeling that I've never really truly been free. But in the last few months, while we've been going through this series on freedom in Christ, I've been reflecting on each of the topics, just trying to come to it impartially and look at generational curses and look at soul hurts and look at footholds and ungodly beliefs and even demonic oppression and the way it's unfolded in my life, some of these things. And I've been reflecting also on the truth that sets us free and frees us from these burdens, as it says in John chapter 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so I spent some time in silence, and I've waited on God in the Spirit, and feelings and thoughts and memories have come back into my mind bit by bit, and given me some insights into these hurts. And some of these will be familiar to you all, but all of them are error that need correction. And some of them are personal, like, I'm not worth anything. I had this sense of self-worthlessness, which I'd cover up with bravado. I was afraid to fail, so I thought that I could just work harder and harder and harder to get over that one. And I worshipped my ancestors, which I justify as just loving my elders. And I put myself down all the time, which I justify under the word humility. And these were all errors. But they weren't just personal errors that you could sort of write off a bit to psychology. There was theological ones. I put myself down harshly because I was waiting for God to lift me up again. And I'd even failed to recognize or tried to pretend that God really wasn't compassionate or merciful, but actually he was a punisher. And I don't know why, but I intentionally denied myself the right to call myself a child of God. I failed to accept his benefits, even though I've spent 10 years at Ridley College. So no matter how hard I try, all the efforts I took to conceal and control these, they just didn't work. I'd fall in a heap and I'd end up back in this depressive state. But friends, we Christians are countercultural. We're not captains of our own souls. Nor do we seek to be the captain of others' souls. But Christ is the anchor of the soul. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And in him there's freedom, friends. Because he lowered himself to come to earth to atone for our sins and also to lead us by example. And that's what I've seen in this series. Both of those things, atoning for our sins and leading us by example. And that's sort of the spirit we're talking about, that message of God is in our grasp, is the very freedom that comes in Christ. Friends, what I had is two mixed messages. I had the message of freedom in Christ and the truth of Christ, but I also had this other one of comfort with the uncomfortable, with the falsehood of the deceiver. The deceiver wants to be comfortable with the uncomfortable because that separates us from the Father. This series enabled me to sort of work through, to progressively work through these. There's an opportunity to do a bit of a health check on who I am in Christ and my faith. And it really made me realize how sick I was. And so in the name of Jesus, I was able to discern and name and confess and repent and reject these ungodly beliefs. Because I am worthy of Christ's love. And I can't fail when I follow Jesus. And he is the Ancient of Days. He is the true judge. And I won't cast myself down because God is already holding me up in his hand. And I choose to invoke my right to be called a child of God. I call myself a child of God. And friends, we Christians have been given these tools to access these deeply rooted hurts and false beliefs which keep us down. Some of us may not have to worry about this, but even ones who appear like they're strong can be weak. So act as a witness today of God's wondrous works, both yesterday and today. And this is a role that stems right back to the Davidic psalm. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out from the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my heart, a song of praise of God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. David Ray, Son of God, Prince of the Kingdom. That's wonderful. Well, I'd like to begin today with a reflection on John Bunyan. We sang his hymn just a few minutes ago, To Be a Pilgrim. The one with the hobgoblins. He was a nonconformist pastor. What's a nonconformist? In the history of England, a nonconformist is someone who was a Christian but didn't want to be part of the Church of England, the official government church. So he rejected that, and he was a man of great courage and fortitude. Actually, he was a rabble-rouser when he was younger, but when he married a beautiful Christian woman, and his life changed at that point. He also wrote Pilgrim's Progress. It's counted as the first novel in the English language, and it's one of the best-selling books ever published in English. I think by 1938, there'd been thousands of editions already at that time, and it's continuing on, translated into 200 languages. Now, because he was a nonconformist, because he kept preaching, at that time there was a law that said that people could not meet more than five at a time for prayers, except for their own household members, if they wanted to have a meeting of more than five people who were not one family to pray. They had to do it in the Church of England. But he kept preaching, and he was pastor of a church. He just kept preaching and preaching, but not within the structures that the government accepted. So they put him in prison for some months. And because he insisted on keeping on preaching, he was there for 12 years. His first wife had died. They had had four children. The first one was blind. And then he married a younger woman, and she was about 20 when he was put in jail, and she had to look after the children. I read that he made a living making bootlaces while he was in prison. And actually, he was appointed the pastor of the local nonconformist church while he was in prison. He was a person of incredible courage. And he had this insight that comes through in the hymn to Be a Pilgrim, that his enemy was not the King of England. It wasn't the government. It wasn't people. It was a spiritual battle he was engaged in. He doesn't come across as a person of bitterness or hatred towards the authorities. He is bold and courageous. And I'd like to ask this question: what is standing against you? Who is standing against you? What are you facing in your life? Let's have a look at what Jesus says in this passage. And I'd like to draw together the Ephesians reading and the one from the Gospel of John. When Jesus came, he brought a great change in people's understanding of what freedom really looked like. The people of Israel, the Jews, had been looking forward to overthrowing the Romans and establishing their political autonomy. But Jesus explained that he was not the Messiah of that kind of kingdom. He was the king of a spiritual kingdom. As he says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He challenged the expected understanding that when the Messiah came, there'd be a political salvation. And instead, he was setting people free from demons, from ungodly beliefs, from trauma and hurt that they'd experienced. He was bringing profound change in people's souls. And so it is today. That is our calling. And Paul, who followed Jesus and understood this principle, he explains in this passage at the end of Ephesians, which is a letter really about being found in Christ and being grounded in Christ. He says, "Our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places." So what he's saying is, you know, you might be being persecuted. In the first 300 years of the Christian church, it's estimated that about 2 million people lost their lives for their faith in Christ. And by 300 years after Christ, there are about 7 million Christians at the time when it was made the official religion of the Roman Empire. He said, you might be experiencing difficulties in your life of all sorts, sickness, political issues, persecution. But he said, the reality is your struggle is not against political rulers. It's not against the soldiers that come and take you away. It's not against someone who betrays you. Your struggle, he said, our struggle is against spiritual entities, authorities, cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Might seem a bit confusing, this idea of heavenly places, but in the understanding of the time, the heavens, which is basically the skies, this was the place where the demonic forces were present. So when he says it's really in the air, the prince of the flies, is in the air. This was the understanding of the place where the demonic presences were present. He said, this is your real struggle, is against this. And then he says, well, how can we hold our ground? How can we be like John Bunyan, who just kept preaching all those 12 years in prison till they finally let him go? He became a celebrity, actually, and they wanted to let him go, but he just kept preaching, and they couldn't let him go. I hope that if ever we were in that situation, we would have the same courage. How do you hold your ground? This is a short sermon today. We've got a lot to do. We've already heard a lot and prayed for people and lots of things happening. But I just want to remind you of these things and bring them to your attention and invite you to meditate on them, to make it a daily practice in these weeks ahead, to arm yourself. Some people don't have any armor on. They don't really never know there was any, so they never put it on. And others have armor, but it's sort of tattered and rusty and falling off, and you know they don't tend to it. They're not paying attention. But be someone who's well equipped. So firstly, he says, be strong in the Lord. Don't imagine that you can be strong in yourself. That's really a big issue, isn't it? We can often think, oh, I need to be stronger myself, you know. I have to be powerful. I have to be great, you know. But he's saying, no, be strong in the Lord. It's the Lord's strength. Is that really the strength that inspires you, that holds you and keeps you going? You need to know where your strength lies, not in yourself. And secondly, he says, put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it. Don't just be partly equipped. You need the whole lot so that you can stand, you can withstand, so that when things come against you, and things do come against us, all sorts of things, all sorts of painful and difficult things can happen to us. And some of it's personal and some of it's not, but it's all designed to overthrow us. He said you can stand the evil day. The evil day. You can stand, you can withstand on that day if you have these things in place. So here's the challenge, is to cultivate these things in your life, to equip yourself with these things. And he names several things. He says truth. Have truth as your belt. That's the thing that holds you ready. It holds your pants up, you know, if you like. It keeps you in a place of strength. Hold truth. We need lots of truth. Our world doesn't believe in truth today, but Jesus is the truth. He came to show us the truth. Pilate might say, what is truth? But the reality is that truth holds us, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of who Christ has said we are, the truth of how God loves us. This is the truth that holds us in place. We need to know this truth. We need to invest in the Scriptures so this truth is ours. We need to be committed to truth and make it our own. And the second is righteousness. This is not just kind of our good deeds, the right things we do, but the real righteousness that comes from Christ, His justice revealed to us, His forgiveness, the fact that Satan has no charge against us that can stand if we really trust in the Lord Jesus. And that righteousness can protect us because it's His righteousness, it's His goodness, it's His call on our lives that holds us in place. And always ready to proclaim the gospel. One of the most exciting things about the awakening event is that it was catalyzing people to have the shoes of the gospel of peace on their feet. And it sent the people out into the city to do that. And we have not always done well in this area. We hide our Christian faith into our private spaces or our church spaces. I don't mean that as an accusation, but it's a tendency. And we feel uncomfortable when we're outside of those places. But friends, when you're on the train, when you're just walking the streets, when you're catching a bus, when you're in the shop, you should be wearing the gospel shoes. You should be ready to share with someone, ready to say, can I pray with you? You seem sad. Have you thought about Jesus? What's been happening in your life? You need to be ready. We need to be ready to be, this is, why do we should be ready? Why should we be ready to share the gospel? Well, Paul doesn't say we should be ready to share the gospel so that everyone will know the gospel. Of course, that's true. He's saying you should be ready to share the gospel in order to stand the evil day. It's a principle of spiritual strength that we're ready to share the gospel. Because if we're not, then truth retreats in our hearts and we become intimidated by the world around us, and then we become weak and we lose our way. It's that confidence, that boldness to declare the name of Jesus into our circumstances, that is what makes us strong. That's what holds us in a good place. And then we need faith. Well, faith is the thing that, you know, binds us, that holds us in place. It's the shield, he says, that puts out those fiery darts. Satan has arrows and they're burning and he wants to send it right into your heart, and he's gotten there before and he knows the place and he's sending it there. But if you have that shield of faith, you can stop it. It doesn't touch you because you know the truth. If you have faith in God and the truth of God, if you know that you're loved, you're accepted by the living God, you're a son of God, as a child of God, a daughter of God, as Dave was saying, when Satan says you're worthless, you're useless, you can say, no, that's not true. That's not going to touch my heart, because I have a shield of faith. I believe in the word of God. I believe in the truth of what God has said. So those lies, they're not going to come home to me. People don't really like you. No, that's not true. God loves me. I know who I am. I know who he's called me to be. I don't have to let those things come to my heart. Faith is that shield. And salvation, the helmet, it protects our mind. This is the knowledge that nothing can really take away from us what God has given to us. It's in the hymn really beautifully. John Bunyan said this. They know, they at the end shall life inherit. They will not be daunted, they will not be afraid, because they know that salvation is theirs, that it's been won for them, that they are secure, they can stand secure. So that's why the salvation is like a helmet to us. It keeps us safe. I have somehow... Can you take me back to the sermon slides? I've somehow lost them from my system here. It's tricky. So behold, also Paul says, it keeps going. He says, pray at all times, be alert and persevering, and be bold. He says, pray for me that I'll be bold. Now, if Paul needs prayer for boldness, then we all need it. We all need to encourage each other to be bold. So this is a simple recipe for holding our ground, being strong in the Lord, is to live by truth, to claim the righteousness of Christ, always be ready to proclaim the gospel, to know what we believe and be secure in it, to know that we are saved by the grace of God and nothing can take that away from us, to be earnest and persevering, alert in prayer, and bold to share the message of life with us. If you do that, you will be secure and you will be able to stand your ground on the evil day. I'm going to invite us all to stand and we'll declare our faith together in the words of the Creed. Let's declare this ancient summary of the Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.